everyone, welcome back to Coffee and Crime with me, Izzy.
And me, Colette.
So, today we're going to have a really short intro because we're really excited.
If I don't waffle, but...
That's not helping. we're going to have a short intro because we're really excited to record and get into it.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. But we just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's been listening. And also, we have a Twitter page now.
I set up, so props to me.
Yeah, Colette set that up. Thanks, Colette.
We're both posting on it.
Okay, so the username is @coffee_crime.
Okay. See us there.
Yeah, see us there if you want. Right. Okay, so today's episode is not... I don't think it's that similar to the other ones. It's the Iceman. Do you know who this is? Please say no.
I think I know the name, but I...
That's great. That's fine. You can know that. I just don't want you to know the whole story. Okay,
so... Okay, I might, like, recognize it once you start, maybe. Also, I have a cold, so if I'm talking weirdly, that's why.
I did deep research for this one, so hopefully you won't know everything. It took me a while, so... The Iceman's real name was Richard Kuklinski.
Oh, wow. That's a cool name.
Yeah, Kuklinski. It is. And he was born in... New Jersey in 1935 to a Polish immigrant father and a New Jersey-born Catholic mother whose parents had immigrated from Dublin.
Oh, okay.
So his father, you ready for this, was an alcoholic.
Oh, and perfect childhood right
Yeah,
there.
From both parents, suffered abuse. Oh. Richard Kuklinski himself
I would
did.
Say that that's my dream childhood. Fuck that,
He was abused by my parents. Okay. the abuse was so bad that actually they managed to kill his 8-year-old brother.
Oh my god.
Florian. I think they threw him down the stairs or something. I don't think they necessarily intended to kill him, but they did kill him. I think it was the dad who did it. He seems like he was a little bit, you know, worse.
Mm.
So, you know, we're already into typical criminal background.
Yeah. One of the trifecta of three?
Trifecta.
I can't remember what the three is. Being hit by the head is one.
Oh, to becoming a...
Serial killer. I think it might be like killing animals, I think is the second one.
We got boxes ticked here.
Oh,
I don't know about
I
the
can't remember the last one. Maybe that's abuse. But then...
Yeah.
I can't remember what I said the first one was now.
Hitting your head.
Oh, yeah. Because Jeffrey Dahmer got hit in the head by a swing or something.
Oh, but he didn't have
a I probably just completely made that fact up, so well, don't quote me on that.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about him today, it's fine. No,
I like I didn't to mean it like that.
I was just saying our facts don't matter for that, right? His other siblings were... So he had another younger sister called Roberta and another brother called Joseph. And Joseph also went down, like, crime path.
Cool.
So he... raped and killed a 12-year-old girl.
Wait, Joseph or...?
Yeah, Joseph did, okay. Yeah. At the age of 25. Gross. Mm. He, like, threw her off a building.
Fuck.
I think with her dog, according to some sources, so not good at all.
What type of dog was
it? Surprisingly, they didn't say that, so...
That's the most important part of their stories.
So, yeah, Kuklinski is quoted as saying, like, when talking about his and his brother's...
Mm-hmm.
When talking about his brother's crimes, he was asked about it and he said, "We come from the same father." So clearly,
He's got some daddy issues.
Well, he blames the abuse for it, yeah.
To be fair, I think if your dad had killed your brother, you might be a bit.
Yeah, of course. I'm
messed
just.
Up.
Of course. And if you're abused, always. I'm just saying, he believed the nurture part, apparently. So, yeah, there were. Markers of future murderer in his childhood because he also exhibited cruel tendencies to animals. Yeah.
Number two.
I
don't know number three, so.
I thought you said hitting in the head.
Yeah, well, I don't know what one of them is.
Oh, okay. Basically, what he would do is, like, take the cats of his neighbours and throw them in a basement incinerator to kill them. And also, there was some, like, crueler ways too.
Who even has a basement incinerator?
In the, like, apartment block thingy. Not on his own. I think it was, because his neighbours, that's what I got.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
I don't know why I assumed that. Maybe it said something. Anyway.
I don't have an incinerator.
I don't think many people do. Or maybe it was somewhere nearby or something. Who knows? But basically, he also killed them in, like, crueler ways, which I read about, but I was like, I'm not going to describe that here.
Yeah, also I have a cat, and I think he would be traumatised.
Summer, don't listen.
Protect the things.
Yeah, you can, if you want to hear about the more disgusting killing, you can find that in a documentary on a YouTube channel called Dr. Really. And it's just over 2 hours. It's really interesting, actually.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Obviously not. I watched select parts. I watched mostly, like, I did watch quite a bit, but, like, the first part.
That's impressive. There was a documentary about mine, and I went, no.
No, I didn't watch the whole thing, because I didn't need to for the end, but I was kind of unclear on some things, because it was kind of confusing. So I thought, you know what? Watch the documentary.
I mentioned the documentaries that I haven't watched, so.
I will. That's fine. Not required. When he was younger, when he was, like, then 13 or 14, mm-hmm. and I think even a bit before, like, he was bullied by, like, a local gang called the Project Boys, led by this guy called Charlie Lane. They were teenagers as well, but kind of, I think, older teenagers.
Okay.
And he was, like, bullied by them, and called, because he was Polish, like, Polak. I didn't know that was a thing, but I think that's an insult to someone who's Polish. And some other, like, nasty things, basically. So, one day, sorry, this is not funny, but he decided he had, it's just, like, insane. He decided he had enough. So, he got a stick and waited for Charlie Lane, like, coming home or something like this.
Yeah.
And beat him to death with the stick.
Oh, how old was he?
13 or 14.
What the hell?
It's, like, disputed or whatever, like, different sources say 13, different say 14, but around that age is pretty young.
How?
I also saw something say that he, like, he really enjoyed true crime.
This is the future we have for ourselves.
So he sort of knew from reading things that he was supposed to, like, dispose of the body, probably, you
Does
know, like,
everyone just know that? I don't know.
No, but I mean, like, because he was, like 13 or 14, sort of just knew take away identifying things like fingertips and stuff like that. So, yeah.
I wouldn't even know that.
Yeah, well, he also...
Well, I probably would.
Yeah, you could probably think about it, but I wouldn't know how to properly make sure... I don't know. I don't know if he did it fully properly, but he never got caught anyway. Okay. He just...
Wait, so how'd they know he did it?
Because he confessed it later.
Oh.
That's like loads of his...
Such a weird...
Things.
I find it weird when people confess.
But, well, we'll go into that. Okay. We'll go into it. Later, but yeah, he disposed of the body and then also went after, like, the rest of the gang and beat them too, but not with with sticks, but not
as
to
in,
death.
What do you mean, like, a stick?
Yeah,
like
I
a
don't
twig
know.
Stick?
No, obviously not, like,
well, not a twig, but like
it could be like a man-made, you know, obviously still wooden, but like a big pole thing. If you hit someone on the head with a big enough stick, like,
yeah,
you can kill them with that. I don't know. To be honest.
That just seems like a weird weapon of choice.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't like a little twig he picked up on a walk. Like, I'm sure it was, he put effort into it.
Wait, but was it like premeditated then?
What? Yeah, he waited to get them and then he sought them all out to beat them up. I think they, like, physically hurt him as well, like, with the bullying. It wasn't just calling him names. But he was basically, I think the point is he got to the point where he was just sick of being...
Like, he snapped.
Yeah, he snapped. He was, like, sick of being beaten at home by both his parents. Yeah.
And then going to school and being beaten there as well.
Yeah, it's just, like, a bit overwhelming and everything. Yeah. I mean, not that most people would do this, but I'm just saying he couldn't handle it. And I think this is quite important, like, in all his crimes, feeling powerful. And so there's a book about him written, and it seems a little bit dramatised.
Oh.
That's the picture that I sent to you of the book where it was like he had a big member and she loved it. So I was like,
that
I
was
don't know
so
how
weird.
Trustworthy this is, but it was
Wait,
it was
were
really
you
weird
reading
writing
the book,
the start bit, because I just needed more information because there's not actually that many sources.
Did you buy it?
No, on the internet. It was on Google Documents or whatever, you know.
Oh, how weird. Oh,
it wait, wasn't it was... all the pages. You had to pay 99p to get all the pages. Maybe I should have, but I didn't need them all, so I just
and as well given the bit that it said about...
Yeah, so, but it was, I think it's supposed to be largely factual, but, and this, like, aligns with, you know, the rest of his story, like,
yeah.
He felt like, I've killed this person, no one knows, like, I've managed to kill him,
yeah.
And I'm more powerful, like, now nothing bad, like, nothing bad came from it, he didn't get yeah. any, what's the word, like,
repercussions,
so he just, like, why have I been just taking it all my life,
yeah.
I should just do what I want because guess, I don't get
he's
caught.
He's going to kill his parents. That
no.
Okay.
I will just spoil it and say no, he doesn't do that. But he does say he regretted not killing his dad. Oh. And he should have killed his dad.
Maybe if he'd just killed his dad, it would have, like... Because some serial killers start killing because there's, like, one person they want to kill. And then after they kill that person, like...
Yeah.
They're cured or whatever. So, like... Ed Kemper, who I like to mention all the time, the last person he killed was his mum.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, after that, he turned himself in. But basically, he said that everyone he killed was, like, a projection of his mother. So, like,
oh, okay, yeah.
He killed them because he wanted to kill his mother.
So he should have just...
killed her first, yeah. And then...
I don't know why he didn't kill his dad. He regretted it anyway. But he didn't,
that's an odd basically. Thing to regret,
but... So... After this, he actually made his own, it's kind of unclear when, but while he was still a teenager anyway, sort of started up his own gang called the Coming Up Roses.
This is reminding me a bit of a Lucky Luciano.
Yeah, it is kind of similar.
Gangs.
So basically, yeah, he was doing sort of more, like, petty crimes, like robbery mm-hmm. and pirating, and also selling porn to those connected to the, like, bootlegged porn, so, like, stolen porn that people were supposed to pay for, you know, like,
oh, okay.
You do bootlegging films, he just did porn films.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, maybe at the time, I don't know.
What's porn?
Anyway, to those connected...
You misinterpreted what I meant I don't...
Right, to those connected to the Gambino crime family. So just before we go into all his crimes, oh, at the time, also, this is crazy to me, but basically, so he became like a pool shark as well. He would go.
I don't know
and,
what any of these things
I'm
are.
I'm telling you now.
Okay.
he would, like, play pool. And it's kind of when you know you're good, so you try and, like, get someone to bet on you. But apparently he had, like, a bit of more of a babyish sort of face, so people just thought, oh, this is going to be easy. But you kind of cheat them out of it because you know you're really good or something yeah. like this. But if he, like, got annoyed by people or whatever, he would literally just beat them with his pool stick and kill people. He was, like, notorious for this. He had, like, no...
What?
He had just...
Like, snapped.
So,
like,
one of
really
the people...
short temper.
One of the people he paid, and it paid, played, was, like, a policeman. Yeah, really short temper. Like, I think because he just decided, after killing that person, he was like, anyone who pisses me off, why should I... I don't know, he just snapped. It's really weird.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know how many people he actually killed at this point, but, like, he would... So, that yeah, this policeman came in, and he knew he couldn't just kill this policeman, like, by
obviously,
beating him, because...
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it was, but he basically... I think he just didn't pay up when they played the pool or something.
Okay.
Played the pool? I don't know what it was, but it wasn't, like, a huge thing. And he waited for this guy. He was drunk, like,
okay.
He waited for him to get into his car, and when he
wait,
was in...
Wait, which guy was drunk?
The...
Iceman.
No,
the
policeman. He waited for him outside the bar and waited for him to get into his car. And he fell asleep, like, immediately.
Yeah.
So he set his car on fire with him in it.
What?
And he said he quite liked hearing him scream or something like
oh.
this because he woke up
oh
to scream.
Oh, my God, that's literally...
That's awful.
Oh.
Because he was trapped in this
oh.
car. Yeah.
Wait, couldn't he get out of it? Like, were the doors locked?
No, I think because he was asleep. I don't know if he, like, doused it in petrol, but even if you're petrol inside your car, like,
yeah,
sets
exactly.
on fire, you're just screwed.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, he just killed him.
I literally,
him, like,
I was tweeting about this on our Twitter.
Yeah.
@coffee_crime. but, like, since I passed my driving test, and also since we started this podcast, I'm now so paranoid that someone's going to run me off the road.
Oh, you freaked
no,
me out with
I
this.
I know. Like, the other day, I was driving, and there was this guy behind me. Or it might have been a girl. Don't discriminate. and he had... I'm going to keep calling him he.
Yeah.
But, they. Like, his... Yeah, they had their full beams on. And they were, like, really, really close to me. And it was a 60, and I was doing 40. But it's because it's really windy. And they just kept... trying to get me to go faster, and I was really paranoid they were going to run me off the road, and then that was how I was going to die.
That scares me, though, because this is the... I'm such a paranoid
I never used to everything. Be. This podcast is ruined.
I know, because you're thinking about murder so much, because we're either recording or researching.
Exactly.
Or just reading background stuff, or editing.
Even if you're not doing any of that, sometimes if I'm walking, or, like, something, I'll be trying to think of one to do. Like, if I...
Yeah.
I'm struggling to think of an episode topic, I'll think about it while I'm driving or something.
Yeah.
Or sometimes while I drive, I'll listen to one of our episodes to see how we can improve for the future. But sometimes that's not fun.
There was some of the things I've read, like, while I've been researching for this podcast, I swear to God, I get lost, like, on, you know, huge searching things while I'm trying to search for people to research. Huge searching things? Like, wormholes, like you said. On our Twitter. And there's just some, like, which is so disgusting. Like, I'm not gonna record them on here. Maybe I'll post them on our Twitter so you can do, like, because I can't remember them right now. But literally, they stick in my head. One of the people is, like, the...
Sorry, my cat's very distracting.
Right, one of the people is, like, the toy box killer. And it's just when you, like... I would recommend that you don't do this. I found it on Reddit, I think.
Reddit is a
And I was warned not to read it.
Oh,
I was warned, but I was like, kind of, how bad can it be? You know, obviously it can't be bad, but, you know, to read about, I was like, go on, I'll just read it. Right.
We'll tweet a link to it, if we remember.
Yeah. So, when he was sort of a little bit older, at some point, I'll just talk about his family life, because I feel like that's good background to kind of what person he was. So at some point, when he was still fairly young, he was working in a warehouse in New Jersey, and he met here Barbara Pedrici, who was to be his future wife. Now at this
point... They all have such cool surnames.
Yeah, I think she must be like Italian or something.
Yeah, and I love like European surnames.
Yeah, so nice. But he was already married at the time. And had two sons, but he found a new wife. She was like 19 or something.
How old was he? Do you know?
I think like he was 26 when he married her, and she was 19. That's not too bad. Something like this. That's the kind of age gap they have.
That's fine.
But I don't know like how old they were when they met, but when they married or something, I think they were 26 and 19. I can't remember exactly. But basically, he had two daughters and another son with her. Mm-hmm. And at home, he was... So she described it as... Most of the time he was good Richie. So he was like, you know, good father. What is
his name? Richard, sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot. Don't you remember? It's like the Iceman.
So mostly he was like a good father, like supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bringing the money because that was the time that it was. You know, like, just being generally a decent person. But sometimes, so it would come like randomly, like... months in between, or it could be days in a row, mm-hmm. he would be bad Richie, and he would be angry and violent and abusive. So that was, like, physically abusive to her.
That sounds like... Yeah, and as well, like, a bit emotionally, because you never know whether he's going to be annoyed, like, day to day, so it probably messes with you.
Yeah, you don't know who you're going to be seeing, if you're going to be... Like, if she's describing them as, like, completely different people, you don't know who you're going to see today, and that's kind of scary. Like,
Jekyll and Hyde, almost.
Yeah, he described himself... Actually, it was more about his job... that's confusing. No, it was more about, like, his home life and his other life. He described himself as living, like, a Jekyll and Hyde type lifestyle himself, But obviously, as a person, he was even, you know...
Yeah.
In his family, he was like that. Okay, anyway. It was mostly, like, emotional abuse to his children. Mm-hmm. But with his wife, he literally... One night, she came home late.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was without explanation or something, so...
What a terrible... Red flag! Divorce her!
He killed her dog.
Oh my!
In front of her. As, like, punishment. Yeah, I know. As, like, punishment for that. Literally at the start of the relationship, she felt like he was too controlling a bit. Yeah. So they were in a car and they were having some sort of argument over it. She said she wanted to see other people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. And he silently stabbed her in the back with a hunting knife. She said so sharp she didn't even feel it go in, but she could just feel the blood.
What?
He used to... Oh, that was another thing I was going to say that earlier. You know, I said he...
That's insane. That's like an insane person thing to do. Like...
But she stayed with him because he said...
That's like he said to write a book.
He literally said, "You belong to me and I will kill your family if you leave me." But then the next day he'd be, like, really nice and bring, like, flowers and say, I think
often, like, emotionally abusive people are like that. Like,
oh, yeah, definitely. Switch. Like, they'll be awful, so just so you know they can be awful. But then they'll be like, I'm so sorry, so you kind of forgive them. But in your mind, you're still, like, scared of them.
Yeah, like, the stabbing her in the back of, like, in the back with a hunting knife. That's like, if I was reading a fictional book and it said that, I would be like, no one does that. That doesn't happen. That's unrealistic.
Yeah, to Surprise. Just stab her. And for her to go back to him, but I guess she was scared then. But yeah, all I was going to say is, you know, we were talking about how a stick might not be the best weapon.
Yeah.
He did actually start carrying that hunting knife shortly after that with his, you know, new gang. Oh, and also... God, this
is crazy.
After that as well, after he threatened, you know, in this argument to kill her family, she actually, I think this is pretty brave, she didn't take it, she resisted and, like, screamed at him, basically. And he... throttled her to unconsciousness.
What?
Yeah. What a mess. So it was like...
But I don't see how you can do that to someone that you, like, supposedly love.
I know, it's very messed up behaviour. Anyway, she suspected he was involved in crime throughout their sort of relationship, but, you know, she never... I don't think she wanted to go near it, pretty much. And...
Understandable.
His neighbours and his own family, like his own wider family, you know, parents and everything, thought he was just a family man and a successful businessman. Oh. They were even further, like, from the truth than her. And that was, like, the image he projected because he lived in New Jersey suburbs.
New Jersey? That was a great accent. Is that the accent?
I don't know.
Have you never heard a proper New Jersey
accent?
No,
I don't think
so. Like, Jersey? Please leave.
Okay, great. Right, thanks for that.
It's like, you know, have you ever heard like a proper New York accent?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. It's kind of like that, but not quite.
I swear, proper New York accent doesn't sound like Noin Jones. I didn't know what that was.
I probably just offended an entire. Yeah, because.
All of our listeners.
No, someone actually did listen from Newark in New Jersey, so.
Shout out to you. Thanks for listening. Right. Yeah. And he would, like, hold barbecues, apparently. I don't know if that means, like, you know, community barbecues or whatever. And he was literally, he was an usher at Mass. And so, you know, man of the church.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't burst into flames as soon as he walked in the door.
And he led trips to Disneyland and stuff like this. Oh. Or took trips to Disneyland, I don't know. So, let's go back to the crime. So, his porn bootlegging was sort of his in to becoming connected.
What's porn?
Stop, you made the joke! To becoming connected with organised crime.
You still haven't explained it, so I still don't know, so...
Can I look it up in your own time, please? it's not relevant, right? to becoming connected with organised crime. Okay, that was his in. And he had this reputation as the explosive pool shark, or whatever. So, one day, for some reason, he owed a debt to... Oh, so the Gambino crime family was who he did this porn bootlegging for. And for some reason, he owed a debt to them. Okay. So he was beaten and pistol whipped by DeMeo, who was a member of that
family. Like Cinco de Mayo?
No, that's... Mayo. That's different. I don't... Is it DeMeo, actually?
Yeah, I don't know.
DeMeo. It doesn't come up too much. It's fine. But he was impressed how he took the beating. Because I think he's one of those people who are just...
Yeah.
Hard.
A manly man.
Yeah, so he paid, well, it worked out for him to be a manly man because he paid the debt, and one day he was still doing this bootlegging stuff. One day DeMeo took him out in a car and picked a random passerby. He was young, by the way. He was still a teenager at this point. Like, if that would make sense to align with the rest of the story, he must have still been a teenager. He just picked a random man who was walking his dog and just said, kill him. And literally, without saying a word, Kuklinski got, or the Iceman, got out of the car and shot him in the back of the head.
Holy God.
Literally no hesitation. Okay, so at this point, he was...
So in a way, he's kind of almost like a hitman, like...
Wait for the story. At this point, he was 6'5".
Oh my God,
so he was tall, and he was 270 pounds.
I don't know what that means, but
so that's big. I'm like 117 or something. So
practically double you.
Yes. Yeah, you can see him. He's like a fairly big man, you know, stocky. He's that tall and everything.
Yeah, obviously.
He's more than double me. He's like Yeah. He's like 1.5 of me. So, you know, he's pretty intimidating. Like, yeah. There's no
same
denying
with
that.
Ed Kemper.
I don't know if he'd be that. I know he probably would be that big, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And that's scary. So, there you go. So, he'd prove that he was, like, you know, ruthless because he just did that and he's capable of doing it as well.
Horrible
person. Yeah. So, he became an indispensable, as you said, hitman for the Genovese family.
Genovese?
Yeah, wait.
They were
calm
mentioned
yourself. I know,
in...
calm yourself okay. down. I know.
Wow. Did you know that before you started?
No,
and
I found
out.
Did
you realise once?
Yes,
you
I realised. Just,
like, well.
Just have patience.
Sorry,
right.
I'm excited.
So he was 18 when he carried out his first like proper hit, because I don't think they counted that as a hit, because he just killed someone.
Yeah.
Not for money. So he was, like, at least by the end of his career, he was charging, like, high in the 5-figure range for these hits. So he was earning well.
5 figures, that's not...
But it was...
That's not
it was
oh.
Consider it was in, like,
yeah, true.
Mid-50s, and then from then on, so it would be more.
That's
true. And, yeah, he was known to be a good hitman because he disposed of his victims really thoroughly, like, removing potential means of identification, such as teeth and fingers, and then he had different ways of, like, disposing of the body, so, like, dismembering them, putting the body in an oil drum, burying them, throwing them into mine shafts, putting bodies... This is clever.
My God, imagine being a miner. Ugh.
Ugh. putting bodies in the boot of a car, or, you know, trunk, if you're American, and having them crushed in junkyards so you never find it because it's just all compacted down. I think that's quite clever. Smart guy. so this kind of links, sort of in a way, he really liked to experiment, and I think he liked being good at disposing, you know, like, I got away with it again. I think he liked that
like
feeling.
Like a bit of a, haha, I'm above the law.
Yeah, I'm really smart, I've done this, and I'm powerful because I can do it and get away with it and just live my life. So one of his experiments was what earned him the name the Iceman.
I was thinking it
So he was inspired by, like, a fellow hitman called Robert Prong, who was nicknamed Mr. Softy because he went around in a Mr. Softy truck. And
what is a Mr. Softy truck?
Like ice cream.
Truck.
So, like, as a cover. So yeah, what Kuklinski did, sort of took the idea and froze the bodies to disguise time of, like, so once they were murdered.
Yeah.
To disguise time of death, which worked well.
He actually was the guy that discovered, the fucking thing, I forgot the name of it.
What are you saying?
What's the thing where you freeze people and then they can be, like, woken
Oh my God. Like, doesn't it start with C? Cryogenic.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah. He discovered that. Didn't you know?
Except he didn't wake them back up. They stayed dead was the idea. Right. Prong also taught Kuklinski other things such as like how to use cyanide to kill people, which
that's
he did.
A useful skill.
He liked doing different cyanide killing. And he actually asked Kuklinski to carry out a hit on his own family, which was like his
on
wife.
On Kuklinski's family?
No.
On the ice.
Prong
on the...
asked.
Okay, on Prong's family.
Yeah.
Okay.
On his wife and children. And but Kuklinski, lucky for Prong's family, he was a lovely man. He had a personal code. He doesn't kill women or children. So instead he killed Prong.
Oh my God.
And he was found in his Mr. Softy truck. So, obviously, this request, like, disgusted, somehow
that's
disgusted
so
Kuklinski.
He's and okay he to, abuses
yeah,
his
he's okay
own
to
wife.
Abuse his family, but you must not kill women and children, because that's disgusting. So, like, literally, because such...
That's such a weird moral, like...
But such little things could annoy him and, like, aggravate him. That must have really got him some for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe because, like, his own parents killed
yeah,
his
that's
brother
what I was
or something.
Thinking, but then, there's such a weird,
maybe he really didn't...
Like, that's such a weird point to draw the line, like...
But maybe it's to do with him being a manly man who doesn't kill ladies and kids. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah.
He also believed his wife was his property as well, so...
Yeah, that's
so
what's
maybe...
confusing me. If you ignore that fact, it doesn't make sense, but, like, I can see...
But he maybe thought he could do whatever he wanted to them, because that was his kids and his wife... But to other people, I have no clue.
Yeah, that's so
weird.
Strange.
But yeah, he was found in his Mr. Softy truck.
What a legacy to leave behind.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, I'll say this now. Right. Besides bad Richie, you know, coming out, and a weakness, he had a weakness for high-stakes gambling. Apart from that, he was set apart from other mobsters because he didn't have any, like, typical vices like alcohol, drugs, or woman. He wasn't a womanizer or anything. And he was also set apart from other killers. He didn't fall into, like, any of the sort of usual categories for motive.
Okay.
Because he did it, you know, sort of for money, but also for enjoyment. And also, like, he doesn't fall into a category.
Like, he's not purely an assassin.
No, he likes... So he's sort of a typical serial killer in that he actually enjoys it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... You ready?
And then the added bonus is that he's getting money for it, sorry.
This is what you were coming on to. Okay. Yes, sort of like that. Like, he gets to... It's his hobby, but he gets to live the job that he loves
like
to do.
Like podcasting. It's what's fun, that? It's fun, but the added bonus is...
That we don't get any money, because... Right,
anyway, but you can get
you
money.
Can, in theory. So, Kuklinski was associated with the American Mafia.
Yes! This is such a weird, like... What a weird coincidence.
Yeah, it came up and I was like,
It's not even... It's, like, going to be an episode apart.
Yeah, like, true.
Yeah.
Exciting. So, this is, just in case you're wondering what we're talking about, Colette's last episode was on Lucky Luciano, who was leader of the sort of... He ran the five families of New York City.
Basically.
So, yeah, Kuklinski was linked to the DiCavalcanti family of Newark in New Jersey, and also the five families of New York City. So, Luciano was the leader... It kind of overlaps, basically.
Okay.
So, in late 30s and 40s, he was in prison, but he was still sort of running it.
Yeah.
And so, Colette's episode talks about this. It's just, you know, for the links. Yeah, so in 1957, he was sort of officially dethroned, even though he wasn't even the acting...
Luciano.
Yeah, he wasn't even the acting person.
Yeah.
Like, that acting boss, he, acting person.
I think that was when he had to... wait, when was it? Sorry, 1950s.
1957 was when Genovese took over.
Yeah, that was because...
he was exiled back to Italy, yeah. Kuklinski was tied to organised crime from the mid-50s, so their careers in... industry here.
Yeah.
It did sort of overlap.
The underworld.
Yeah, but they were definitely linked to the same
people.
Yeah. There was nothing mentioned about Luciano or anything in relation to... I looked on his Wikipedia page, there's nothing about Kuklinski, you know, asking to do anything. I just noticed, like, the name Genovese and everything like that. So, anyway. He was a hitman. So while he enjoyed life as a hitman, he did begin to quickly feel, like, stifled.
By what?
By the fact that he had to, like, do certain murders.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows?
Good solution to that problem is don't be a hitman.
Well, he was getting his money and he did enjoy it. And it was a well-paid job and everything. But he didn't want to just do that. So in 1954, just 19... He began searching for victims in Hell's Kitchen, and I was like, what? Hell's Kitchen? Gordon Ramsay wasn't around yet. But,
that's an area of New York.
Yeah, area in Manhattan, apparently.
Uncoming area.
Oh, really?
Or it's a really, like, hipstery, yeah.
Well, it probably was not up and coming at the time.
No.
Because lots of people were dropping dead.
Oh.
Because he would pick any man who, like, slightly annoyed him. Literally, it could be from afar, like, he just... I don't even know, it's weird. But he would use them to practice the art of killing.
Oh, that's a normal way that people do it.
He said, like, he later said it wasn't the killing so much that he enjoyed, but, like, the stalking and you've got your victim. The hunt, yeah, exactly. And then also probably the getting away with it part, like, you're powerful, you've just killed someone. So I guess that's why he's not typical serial killer, because he doesn't like... he does like the killing in a way. He said something
otherwise
about...
Otherwise he wouldn't do it.
No, but, you know, because he's... The hunt, you have to do the killing if you want to enjoy the hunt.
No, you don't. You can just be a stalk.
No, but then you don't get... The point is that, you know, you have the power. Like, you have taken something from someone.
Yeah.
You have taken their most important possession in their life, right?
That would be like a thing you would get tattoos like.
Oh, God, no. What, my most important possession is my life? How? How would that be a tattoo? Right. When
life
we're drunk
is
in
the
future, 18th birthday.
That'll be what it is.
We'll get them on our butts.
No, tramp stamp. Life tramp is the stamp, most important possession of all.
We'll get matching ones though. That's our new podcast slogan. Slogan? Slogan. I can't speak. Let's just move on. So at the time...
Wait, what is it? Life is the most important possession.
Should I make a note of it?
That should actually be our slogan. We can just listen to this back. Slogan.
That should be our slogan. Our new slogan, everybody. Right. So at the time, the NYPD believed that bums, I didn't know if
homeless
there's...
people.
Well, also, like, I think they included, like, drunks and people they just didn't really care about, which is lovely. they just believed that they were killing each other, so he got away with it all.
Oh.
Because just the people in society that they don't give a shit about, they're just like, oh, they're just killing each other.
That doesn't bother us. Yeah, well.
Exactly. So
what?
Or unless maybe they did care and they investigated it and they just talked it up to that, and that's, but I don't think, the vibe was that they didn't care.
Yeah, well, why didn't they arrest anyone then if they did care? That's what you would
think. True. But they probably thought the wider population wasn't at risk, which is lovely.
Mm.
So basically that's his background. No, don't look. He was,
I'm too blind, it's fine.
That's his background. He's a hitman and a bit of a dickhead.
A 12th of the way through.
No, we're not. We're going into just a short bit, methods of killing, because it's kind of interesting. Not too bad.
This is why I get up and leave.
Because I...
Or just start projectile vomiting.
No, it's not that bad. But I tend to, like, imagine a hitman, I was thinking, as someone...
Who uses a gun.
Yeah, just hide out of sight and you're just shooting to kill and... Shoot to kill.
Yeah,
and
have you ever seen The Hitman's Bodyguard?
No.
Oh, that's a good film. Would recommend.
Thanks for that.
That's so, about a hitman.
Really? Oh, yeah. Crazy.
And his bodyguard.
Oh, whoa. My God. Right.
And it's actually really good.
Okay, so yeah, he wanted to be a little bit creative, I guess. So that's what he was perfecting when he went to Manhattan. Okay. Sort of new methods of killing. I don't know. I think he just liked it, like trying out different things. So he described some of them.
Seeing what he liked. That's important in life.
Yeah, it is. He's exploring himself and what he can do.
Character development.
Yeah. So this, I think this is kind of scary. It like shows just how big he was, but he once put an... I shouldn't laugh. He once put a noose around a man's neck, and instead of like hanging him, he just threw him over his shoulder. And he described himself and was like, "I was the tree in his hanging."
That's
like,
insane.
What? I know. So he must have been like really big.
Yeah, I need to see a picture of him later.
Yeah, I'll show you in a minute. But this was one of his like experiments. He shot a man in the head with a crossbow arrow just to see if it would work as a weapon. Spoiler, it did.
Yeah.
It killed him.
It's designed... What? Just to see if it worked as a weapon.
To kill someone. I don't think... I'm not sure it's supposed to kill you. Well, he shot it in his head. I don't
know.
Yeah,
that's what they used to use in the army.
In the army, they did not... No, they used, like... What?
Crossbows?
No, the little one where you go like this and you...
They're not super small, always. Have you ever seen Hush? She has
it is not supposed to kill someone because he had to test it and he's not that dumb. No, I have not seen Hush.
A crossbow is a type of ranged weapon.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's
based on the bow and consisting of a horizontal bow, which is handheld in a similar fashion to the stock of a gun or the stock of a gun.
Can't just accept it.
No. Historically, they played a significant role in the warfare of East Asia and medieval Europe.
I don't care. Maybe they shot them so they fell on the floor and then they bled out. Just accept that he had to practice it. Because this came up a lot. Okay, no one questioned it. Right. Carmen Genovese.
They have been largely supplanted by firearms, but are still used for shooting sports.
Carmen Genovese. I didn't make this up myself.
I'm just throwing it out there that they are used as a weapon, so it seems like an unnecessary test.
Maybe he just wanted to do it.
To do, yeah.
Carmen Genovese ordered... Oh, that's a man.
Yeah, because that's Genovese. Oh, wait, no, that's not the same guy.
No, it's not.
It was Frank Genovese.
Ordered a hit on a man who... So he had allegedly, like this other guy, done something disrespectful to Genovese's friend's wife.
Okay.
So he wanted him to suffer. So he asked him for, asked Kuklinski to kill him and asked for a souvenir.
Okay.
So I don't think
he took a ring off his...
No, he wanted a body part souvenir, not a ring.
Well, finger with the ring.
He tied him up. This is maybe getting into gross territory now, so just in case. It's not really, but he tied him up, gagged him, drove him to an isolated place, broke his knees.
Cut
his
my knees
finger
hang on.
Off.
Hang on, I need my knees.
please. No. How is that the bad bit? He cut his fingers off with a...
I have a really weird thing where I used to have a really weird thing. You know the veiny bits in the back of your knees?
Oh, don't be gross. I can't talk about veins.
No.
You know I hate talking about veins. That's my thing.
No, you know the bit I mean.
Artery is even worse.
You know the bit I mean? When you bend your leg and you can feel the two streams.
Oh, don't be disgusting. This is worse than this.
I used to have a fear someone was going to slash the back of my knees.
Don't publicise this, because if someone wants to come kill you, they know exactly how to mess you up the worst, right?
Oh, yeah, that used to... Well, I was
That's
like,
disgusting.
It was being a problem for years.
Chipped off his fingers with a hatchet, one by one. And then decapitated him and brought the head back as a souvenir. Yum, yum.
What do you do with that?
Well, you see it and then you can put it in the bin. I don't think he's going to mount it on the wall or something. Right, and then once he, like, dressed up in a flamboyant costume to pretend to be gay at a New York City disco in the 70s, and he injected another man with, like some substance, and then there was, like, interviews he did, and the guy was like, what was in the syringe, and he goes, well, in his case, it was a heart attack.
Oh, ha ha ha. Hilarious. You should be a comedian if you hadn't.
To be fair, it's quite an entertaining interview. He is so cold. He just chats about it.
Is he still alive?
No, he died in 2006. That was 2002, those interviews. I'll talk about them in a minute. Okay. It's quite good. So the only one, because I watched this bit of the interview, the only one he like did seem to show like a little bit of remorse for,
was like none of
a little bit. He said he felt bad about this one, the way he did it. He said he shouldn't have done it. He
probably just sad that it wasn't creative enough.
No, it was just a bit mean. Not that they all weren't a little bit mean, yeah. But anyway, in a different way. Get out.
I was just seeing how long
it would be. Oh, here we go. You can see it's half the screen. Right, he was gonna kill this man, and he was like begging God to save him. So Kuklinski was like, all right, you can have half an hour to pray to God. If God cares, he'll come and save you.
Oh.
Or whatever. So this guy prayed for half
an
hour and went...
Because that's like messing with his religion.
Exactly. I think that's why he said he feels he felt bad about it, because the time ran out.
Yeah, because then you're not going to believe in God, and then you're going to be like, well, I'm not going to go to heaven.
Yeah, it's going to really mess with you, because you're about to die, and that's...
And you want your God to save you, and then he doesn't.
Yeah, it's just really going to... mess with your beliefs and stuff at this moment of need. But basically, he says to him, God clearly doesn't care, and kills him.
But then he's gonna, because like your whole life you've been like aiming towards heaven, and then suddenly signed out. Suddenly find out that God doesn't...
I thought you were saying he signed out with his religion or something.
But then it's like, oh, he doesn't...
But that's gonna mess you up, because you're about to die and you're like, my belief has been tested. Am I going to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a bit mean. So this is kind of nasty, so you don't have to listen to this. But it's not like loads of detail, it's just a bit horrible. His most cruel method of killing was he would tie men up and put them in a cave filled with giant rats, and then they'd start to scream and it would attract the rats and they'd eat.
No, there's a book. I keep mentioning
you look
other
so
things
shook.
That
I was like,
think... There's a book called The Rats by James.
Oh, I think you told.
Yeah, and it's about a load of rats mutantly breed. Someone creates giant rats.
Giant rats that eat people clearly
already exist. They go around eating people in London. I thought they were fake! It's by James.
Well, in London they're pretty fake, but in caves apparently not.
That's traumatic. They're like
They weren't seeking the people out.
No, I know.
He threw them in their habitat. In their
that book traumatised me.
Anyway, this traumatised even, he showed DeMio, you know, the guy from earlier, who's anyway, he's involved in organised crime, like, he is a criminal, and I think a murderer too, and he couldn't actually finish it, he couldn't finish watching, because Kuklinski, I don't know if I mentioned that, but
did he just sit and watch it?
Well, he showed him, obviously, maybe to prove that he killed him, I don't know, but basically, I don't know why he was showing him,
Why would you even think to do that? I wouldn't even think that, like...
Well, he liked being creative, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's, like, a whole new level.
But, yeah, he couldn't finish it, and he literally said Kuklinski had no soul. Crazy stuff.
I would agree.
Yeah. So, on to his downfall. Okay, so by the 1980s, he distanced himself from the mafia, and he was trying to capitalise on the business of murder by himself.
Okay.
So he's,
how do you do that?
Well, you're about to hear it. Oh. He set up a deal with a pharmacist called
Set up a website called...
He did not in the
80s. Kuklinski's Murder Emporium.
No, he set up a deal with pharmacist Paul Hoffman, and Kuklinski promised to give him a large quantity of a drug called Tagamet for $25,000. Basically, it was supposed to be a good deal because the pharmacist, Hoffman, wanted to put them on his shelves and sell them at, like, a markup.
Yeah.
Just to earn money. So, he handed him the money. There was no drugs. Literally, Kuklinski shot him in the face, like, up, but it didn't kill him, so he beat him with an iron tire to death.
I can't get over how, like...
I know, messed up.
This is he just doesn't insane.
Care. He doesn't care about life. Like, literally, he will just kill anyone.
But, like, normally serial killers, like, this is, like, a whole new level of,
think that's why he doesn't fit into a category, because he's not even killing for fun. He just likes the fact that he's a really powerful man. He just kills whoever. No. He has, like, the ultimate power.
Yeah.
He just kills whoever he wants
to have,
and gets
like,
away with it.
He seems to have, like, a superiority complex.
Yeah. So, we'll circle that back to that in a second. But basically, along the way, he covered his tracks so well that this ended up being a large factor in his downfall, because a lot of associates and friends he killed them in order to keep himself safe. So he actually only spared one friend of all the people, apparently. So
how
basically,
do you survive with only one friend as well?
Well, he had friends throughout, but only kept one friend around for long. So on 27th of December... 1982, the body of Gary Smith, who was a former collaborator of Kuklinski had killed him with another man called Daniel Deppner. Mm-hmm. So anyway, his body was discovered under a bed in a motel, and for 4 days after his death, people kept staying in this room, like calling it a dead body, despite noticing, like, a horrible smell. I don't know if he put him, like, under the mattress,
that's
I think.
That's the same with Elisa Lam. Sorry, I keep mentioning
that's one of my future ones that I was going to do.
Oh, no, can I just mention a small thing?
Yeah, yeah. I won't do it.
Okay, no, it's fine.
If you know, there's no point.
She was in the water tank.
Yeah.
And people kept drinking from
the water. They were drinking
water.
Black water, apparently, yeah. In her body. That freaks... Have you seen it?
Yes, elevator.
Her hands, when she's going like this and her fingers are all... That freaked me out a little bit. I was like, what the hell is going on?
It's a very strange case.
Yeah, it is really weird, isn't it? Anyway, so the following year on May the 14th, Deppner, who he'd actually...
Yeah, killed.
No, he killed Gary Smith with Deppner. Now he's
killed
Deppner.
Oh, I thought you meant killed him with... As in, killed the two.
No, he killed Gary Smith.
And Deppner helped.
And now he's killed Deppner, and his body has been found by a cyclist riding down... This is so freaky. Riding down Clinton Road in a wooded area in New Jersey, he spots a turkey vulture by a green plastic bag and goes over.
Why? Run away.
I know, exactly. Cycle as fast as you can. But, there's a dead body in there. And it's 5 kilometres from the ranch where Kuklinski's family used to do horse riding a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like a red flag. So then on a warm day, that's relevant, in September, Louis Masquet's body was discovered in a park, and he had been frozen as well, but Kuklinski hadn't...
Cryogenically?
No, in the Mr. Softy freezer. And Kuklinski... That truck was probably gone because he killed Prong in it, but another freezer anyway. But Kuklinski hadn't properly defrosted the body, so the medical examiner found little, like, ice spits in the body, which was unusual because it was a warm day, so he was like... There's something going on here. That's not normal. So they were able to establish his modus operandi.
M.O.
Yep.
There you go. That's why I refer to it as, because I'm intelligent.
So the finding of also George Maliban's body in 1980, which was before that, and also these four, they'd all last been seen by Kuklinski, so it tied him to the murders. Oh. And in 1985...
Rookie mistake.
He was... he was getting sloppy with sort of covering up his tracks, I think, but at the same time, not getting sloppy because he was killing all his friends.
Yeah.
So that was, like, one way, ended up being his downfall because he killed them all, and so it linked him really well. But yeah, 1985, Task Force Operation Iceman began, and it was based on evidence collected by Detective Pat Kane and testimony from undercover agent Dominic Polifrone. So the two worked with a close friend that one friend that Kuklinski didn't kill.
Oh my god.
Solomine.
I bet he's pissed off that he didn't kill him.
Yeah, he is well pissed.
Really?
In his interview, he's pissed that he didn't kill him. No, he's not. But he's like, well, I killed them all. And I was... He's basically, it seems like he thinks he was right to kill them all because he didn't kill one. And is he seems a bit annoyed that he didn't, obviously. So he worked with him to get the undercover agent, Polifrone, close to Kuklinski. And he went undercover as another hitman.
Oh, I would not want to do that. Basically, like, if all his friends are dying, cool, do you want to go undercover as his friend?
But what they were going to, they set up, like, they were going to kill someone with cyanide, apparently. Mm-hmm. So Polifrone gave Kuklinski this cyanide when they met. And Kuklinski decided to test it on a dog on the way home, and he realised it wasn't real cyanide because it did nothing. He just, all he did was, he didn't run away, he just went home, and 2 hours later, he was arrested, and he was convicted of 5 murders only.
I'm sure.
He killed over 100. It's like 100 to 200.
Oh my.
He was sentenced to consecutive life sentences, so he'd be, he was in his 50s, I'd say, at this point. I'm not exactly sure. But he'd be eligible for parole age 110. So basically he's going to spend his life in prison, but that's not that much.
No.
But he did not reach this point. Because
what a shame.
In October 2005, he was diagnosed with Kawasaki disease. Oh, actually, weirdly enough, his wife, by the way, when he was being arrested, tried to protect him, and she was almost charged with...
Whether that. It's like kind of like Stockholm syndrome, almost... Well,
He was diagnosed with this disease, and it was a form which was incurable. And he requested, should he have a heart attack, that he be revived by doctors. But his wife, Barbara, signed a do not resuscitate order. So 1 week before he died, she was called and asked, like, do you want to take that back, basically? Do you want to rescind this?
Do you want to change that?
But she maintained it, and...
But surely said, his... wishes are like.
Well, he's in prison, I guess, as an inmate, they don't care or something. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, because in the normal. Like,
in normal society, it's your own choice.
My mum said.
No, actually, no. I think your own parents can say.
Wait, no, I.
Because they can obstruct your wishes to be an organ donor.
That's what I was then thinking.
Well, anyway, they didn't care about his thoughts. So he died March the 5th, 2006, aged 70. And when asked if she had any regrets, she said, not having told him how much she hated him. I would say the interviews are really good. Like, you should listen to it if you can. It is like there's 2 hours of footage or something.
Oh god!
But I think he really enjoyed doing the interviews. It gave him
clearly, if he can,
an opportunity to like brag, and also do something with life if he's in prison. I don't know. And it really comes across like he felt it gave him power, and it like gave him a reputation that protected him, and it made him like. Yeah, above other people.
Yeah.
And it made him feel, special. And he seems to be proud of, like, the ways he killed people as well. Like, he's inventive or something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He also said, I think this really just reflects him. He said in the interview that the good guy comes last. And it's good to be the bad, like, they really do come last. It's good to be the bad guy because
it puts you
ahead. And he hasn't, it's basically like he's realised.
Donald Trump is a good example of this.
Yeah, great. It's basically like he's being the bad guy and he's getting almost no repercussions. For a long time he got no repercussions, so why would you be the good guy when this is a much better way to live? He's got more money. He gets to do what he wants. He gets to be powerful.
Yeah, and even in prison, he's probably, like, famous in prison. I bet all the other prisoners practically worship him.
They'd probably be scared.
Yeah.
So, his reputation would probably protect him, because you don't want to annoy him the tiniest bit, because he killed people for the tiniest things.
Just because you had a face that he didn't like.
I think it probably... His first murder taught him the lesson that killing... helped him.
Yeah.
The bullying just went away and there was nothing else, so it probably
and
taught
as well,
him that's right.
Did his parents ever face repercussions for, one, the abuse and, two, the murder of his brother? Because if they didn't ever get repercussions for the killing, he clearly, like, from an early age, probably thought that, like, you can kill people and not face.
That is true, yeah. But yeah, I would really recommend listening to those interviews. It's kind of the same stuff, but you just have to see him say it. Like, there's a little bit of pride in his face, but mostly it's just sort of matter of fact. Like, yeah, I did this. Like, it's so weird. It's not chilling or anything. It's just, like, he talks about it really casually, but not like he's even trying to be casual.
I'm intrigued.
I'll show you now. So, right, anyway, that's the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was actually... I'd not heard of him. I was getting confused with someone else. But
when I read the Iceman, I'd actually seen the name before when I was trying to research, and I thought it was going to be something freaky, like...
Yeah.
Something really scary, because the Iceman sounds really intimidating. Like, I thought it'd be a typical murderer. But this isn't necessarily so scary, it's just really...
Yeah.
Like, whoa. Anyway, so that's the end of the episode. Would you like to give a teaser? Spoiler.
So, I was going to do... This isn't a spoiler, but I was going to do The Flat Tire Murderer.
Oh, is this what you've told me
about? I think so. Yeah. He killed... I think they believe it's 5 people in Florida by puncturing their tires. But there was about a paragraph of information because he's... not being caught, so I was like,
oh yeah,
can't be bothered to do an unsolved one. So mine is solved, but is it really solved?
Ooh, that's intriguing.
Yeah. It was, I didn't realise it wasn't, I know there's a bit of a, like, some theories at the end, which I found interesting.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Right.
Yeah, it's okay. A good one, in my opinion.
So, see you next week for that, hopefully.
Yeah.
And
see you in half an hour when we record it.
We're just going to have some lunch now, and then we're going to record, so... See you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.